Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Well, good morning, and again, thank you guys so much for being here. My name's Bobby, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet. I want to jump right in. We're in week two of a series called 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. This is one of my favorite times of year, one of the best times of year. And if you weren't here with us last week and you didn't get to kick off, make it a 14 days of prayer and fasting. Start today, all right? But the reason we do this is we just take time. It's a reset for our soul, so to speak, that we take time in our lives and we put our focus squarely on the Lord. And what I think this time does, it reminds us or it even teaches us that prayer is a privilege, not a duty, right? Sometimes we think, man, if I read my Bible and I pray, then I'm a good person, right? Prayer is so much more than that. Prayer is understanding that, think about this for a second. The creator of the universe, the God who made everything, wants to spend time with you. And that's not you if you do this and if you do that and if you live your life. No. The creator of the universe wants to spend time with you. And so our battle cry for this, our theme, if you will, for this 21 days of prayer is very simply, it's pray first. Pray first, no matter what you got going on in your life, email, text message, meeting, big decision coming up, pray first. This isn't about me praying more. It's about me praying first, no matter what is going on in my life. And so I love it. It's a great reset for my soul. Anybody else ever need a reset for your soul? Anybody at all? Oh, y'all are holy in here. Good night, man. I'm the only one. Thank you for those that are being honest. A couple quick things, real quick, before I jump in. Today is not just week two of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, but today at 3 p.m., we're going to be down at the ocean, down by Caligny, and we're going to baptize about 10 people. And so I want to invite you to come. Come on, let's celebrate with those people, all right? Would you guys, even if you don't know one person getting baptized, would you come and just be a part of it? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down and we're going to meet at First Baptist Church of Hilton Head, okay? It's down by the Caligny Circle. You go down, go right towards South Beach. It's free parking, all right? No tickets are going to be given away, all right? But we're going to meet down there at 3 p.m. We're going to have some time there, and then we're going to walk over to the ocean together, and we're going to celebrate those that are taking that next step. And so we're really excited about that today at 3 o'clock, all right? So get lunch, get a quick nap, and then get down there, and we'll have a great time celebrating. All right, y'all ready for the Word of God? You ready for today? All right? All right, both of you that are ready, here we go, okay? I am going to give you a lot today, so if you want to take notes or take a picture up here of the screens, just a quick review. Last week, we started with what I'm calling the 12 pillars of prayer, the 12 pillars of prayer. And essentially what I'm giving you are these 12 things. What is prayer? According to God's word, what is prayer and what does it do? What is prayer and what does it do? That's what we're going to be kind of looking through. Now, all 12 of these are equally as important. I'm not telling you have to pray all 12 of these things every time you bow your head and call on God, all right? But what this does, it gives us some structure. It gives us a foundation of prayer and what it is. And so the first four last week came under the category of presence. We need to be in the presence of God. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this: "You reveal the path of life to me." And then look at this: "In your presence is abundant joy." So it's very, very important and the Bible talks about being in God's presence. If you don't have joy in your life right now, if you go through life and there's more depression and discouragement than there is joy, you need to get into the presence of God. And so last week we talked about these four ways that I can get into God's presence: communication with God, worship and adoration, gratitude, and reflection on God's word. Reflection on God's word is where I be quiet, I be still, and I listen more than I talk, right? And so we talked about being in God's presence. This week, as I mentioned, we're going to look at it from a different category. We're going to look at it from a theme of posture. What is my posture? The Bible talks a lot about posture, and it's more than just body language, right? It's more than just my physical posture, but it's my spiritual stance. Psalm 95, verse 6, what Stella read for us a few minutes ago: "Come, Let us worship and do what? And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. See, this act of bowing down before a king, it demonstrates submission, right? It demonstrates acknowledgement. I'm acknowledging you're in authority and I am not. But it also, when we bow down, when we kneel, when we bow our heads, what we're doing is we're showing that there's a desire to connect with the Lord. And so it's a really big deal. We can read all throughout. Jesus showed us so many examples. The Bible says that Jesus went away. He withdrew from the disciples to pray. And it says he knelt down and spent time with the Father. And so when you see people worshiping, when we're singing a song and you see people worshiping and their hands up, it's I surrender, God, I surrender. This is more about you than it is me, right? Sometimes you see people with their hands just open. God, I'm ready to receive. Sometimes we see people kneeling down and it's just getting the right posture of our hearts. And here's something, kind of the main takeaway for today. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. The right heart posture matters more than the right words that we say. That your heart is in the right place with God. And so many times if I came to you and put the microphone in your face and asked you to pray, some of you would just vomit, right? You'd be so nervous because you're worried about, I'm gonna say the wrong thing. I don't really know what to say. Well, the right posture of your heart matters so much more than the words. What's going on in here? In the Bible, we can recite prayers, we can read prayers, we can pray what somebody else tells us to, but what matters is our heart. So how do I posture my heart in the right way? How do I submit? How do I show God and put authority in God's hands the way that it's supposed to be? So let me give you these four more pillars of prayer today that all relate to our posture. Number one, we're gonna jump right in. Number one, confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not one that we like to talk about, right? Nobody really wants to confess, all right, here's all my wrong, here's all the things, here's all my dirt. But when I confess, here's what I'm doing. I'm just getting real with God. I'm just being honest about what is really going on, and it is only then can God truly use me. Listen to this story. Some of you may be familiar with it. I came across it this week and I thought, man, this is good. It goes right along with this. Chuck Colson was known as President Richard Nixon's hatchet man. During the Watergate scandal, he was tough, he was ruthless, and he was ready to do whatever it took to protect the White House. After the scandal broke, Colson was facing prison time, but something unexpected happened in his heart. He came across C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity and God began to work. In 1973, before stepping foot in court, Colson confessed to all of his sins, not just to the authorities, but publicly. He admitted his guilt, he repented, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. He went to prison, but that became the birthplace of his ministry. Out of his brokenness, he started what is now known as Prison Fellowship, what has since touched millions of inmates worldwide with the hope of Christ. Colson later said, the real legacy of my life was my biggest failure, that I was an ex-convict. My greatest humiliation was the beginning of God's greatest use of my life. That is repentance in action. That is what confession does. It's not just words, it's transformation. And so if you're looking for forgiveness, we go to the Lord and find forgiveness in our confession. Now, the Bible tells us to repent and confess to the Lord, but look what else it says, because this is kind of where some of us begin to back off. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, therefore, confess your sins to one another and to pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, all right, Bobby, I get this. Praying and repenting and confessing to God is one thing, but confess to man? Confess to a person? I don't really know if I wanna jump into all that. Well, here's what God says. Why is it such a big deal? Does he say confess to God and he says confess to man? Because justification, true forgiveness can only come from God. And confessing my sin to a human has no power for forgiveness, has no power for eternity. right? Only God can forgive my sins and have the power of his grace and his sacrifice on me. So forgiveness comes from confessing to God. So why do I need to confess to man? And if you see the end of that verse there in James chapter 5, it says, we confess to one another, our sins to one another, we pray for one another. Why? So that you may be healed. So forgiveness comes when I confess to the Lord. Healing comes when I confess to man. Now, why is that such a big deal? Because when we confess to man, what we're doing is we're breaking the chains of darkness. The mask is coming off that so many of us wear, right? Because I can confess to God and still have a mask on to all of you. I can confess to God and have a mask on to my kids and to my spouse and act like everything. But when I confess to man, the Bible says that is when I will be healed. Now, I want to say this because I think this is really important. I'm not advocating for you to go confess your sins and post it on Facebook today, all right? I'm not advocating that, all right? Because yes, we want transparency, but we still need wisdom, right? I've heard it said like this. You don't want to bleed before the sharks, okay? You don't want to bleed before the sharks. You need wisdom in who you confess to. That needs to be somebody that is a spiritual leader in your life, that is someone that'll point you in the right direction. But God makes it very, very clearly that confession is not for God. Confession is for us. Confession is the tool that God uses to clean and clear out our hearts and our lives. Confession opens our hearts to God's forgiveness. It opens our lives and it points us back to Jesus. It points us back to the reason that Jesus died on the cross was for those sins so that you would be able to confess. Now, I want you to hear this morning because some of you, you've brought this posture of disappointment and discouragement and head down and slumped over and you're just walking through this world with a limp because you're so ashamed and there's so much shame on your life and guilt and condemnation. And you need to understand that when we place all of our sin up against the cross of Jesus, when we confess and we repent and all of that is put against the cross, all sin, all shame, all fear, all control, all of it has to break. That's the power in Jesus' name. That's the power of the cross, that you and I have somewhere to go, even in our foolishness, even in those stupid things that no one knows about. That's the posture that God wants from us. So the posture of confession and repentance is massive for our lives. Number two, the second posture, the second purpose of prayer, the reason why we do this is to cultivate humility. You and I must cultivate humility in our lives. Micah 6:8 says this, "Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is that the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and here it is, to walk humbly with your Lord." Humility is a really big deal. The opposite of humility is pride. And I want you to think about this for a second. Every single sin that you and I have can be traced back to pride. It all starts with pride. Every single thing that I do wrong starts with pride. So humility is massive. Humility is a really big, big deal. And what I believe humility is, sometimes we view humility as, well, I just think of myself less, right? It's not about me. And that's part of it. But the reality is, true humility is that you're realistic about yourself. You're being real about who you are. So how do I know I'm humble? Do I just go around and ask people, am I humble? Do you think I'm a pretty humble guy? I'm a pretty humble guy, right? Well, let me give you five tests. Five tests that you can know whether or not you're humble in your life. Number one is the correction test. The correction test. Do I accept correction without getting defensive? Uh-oh. That's a tough one. Do I accept correction without getting defensive? Because a humble heart accepts rebuke, even if it stings. What does pride do? Pride resists correction. Number two, the prayer test. Do I pray as if I am truly dependent upon God? Not just when I want something, not just when I have a list, not just when things are going bad or things are going good, but do I pray as if I truly depend on God? Humility is shown when I view prayer as a privilege, not a duty. When I view prayer as my first response, not my last resort. Do I pray as if I truly depend on God? The third test is the service test. Do I serve in hidden ways without needing recognition? Do I serve in hidden ways without needing recognition? True humility doesn't need a platform. What did Jesus do when he was getting ready to leave the earth and he was having that supper with his disciples? The Bible says he took off his robe, he picked up a towel and started washing feet. That's true humility, is willing to take up the towel. Number four is the credit test, not the credit score, the credit test, all right? Do I give God the glory for my success? The blessings that I have, the things that are going great in my life, the celebrations that we're able to have, do I give God the glory? Humility gives God the credit and doesn't grasp any of the glory. And then the last one is the forgiveness test. This is a tough one. Do I release offenses quickly and do I extend grace? You know what pride does? Pride keeps score. Pride keeps score, but humility extends grace. And so in our prayer time, what we're doing is we're cultivating humility. We're thinking of ourselves in a realistic view of where God wants us to be. And God wants us to have a posture of humility to get pride out of our lives. The third alignment, or the third posture is alignment with God's will. The third pillar of prayer, the purpose of prayer. Why do I kneel and pray? Why do I spend time? Is so that I can take up this posture of God, it's all about you and your will. What is your path for me today? Now, I want you to think about Jesus. Again, what a wonderful example. Look what he says in Luke chapter 22. Look at this verse. Father, go ahead and throw that verse up there. Luke chapter 22. There we go. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. I want you to take this cup. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross and to be crucified. God, I don't know about this. And if you're willing, take this away from me. But nevertheless, and look what Jesus says. Not my will, but your will be done. Can you say that every day of your life? God, not my will today with the business, with the family, with the relationship, with my marriage, with my struggle, with my sin. Not my will today, God, but your will be done. Not my will, God, but your will be done. You see, prayer, when we pray and we align with God's will, it's not about changing God's mind. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're doing is we're aligning our heart with what God wants. I'm not going to change God's mind by sitting here praying for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. I'm aligning my heart. I'm changing my heart and getting more and more into alignment with God's will. I know when I started thinking about this alignment with God's will, I started thinking, you know, when I drive, I'm not promoting this. Sometimes I take my hands off the wheel. Okay. Don't tell anybody I do this, but some of y'all got the cool fancy cars that drive themselves, but if you ever done that and you take your hand off the wheel for a second and your car starts drifting, you realize real quickly I gotta pull it back and get back in my lane. Why is that? Because you're out of alignment, right? Your wheels are out of alignment. And I started thinking about that this week, and how many times in my life do I just start drifting over into my lane? How many times in my life I got to get back to God's. I got to get back in alignment. God, you got me here. But then something happens and, oh, I start drifting. And I got to get back in alignment, right? And what I'm doing is when I'm walking in alignment with God's will, what I'm doing is I'm surrendering, saying, God, it's not about me getting in my lane. I want to be in your lane. I want to be right in the middle. And the more we take this posture, listen, the more we do this, the more we practice alignment back into God's will, the more growth you're going to see in your life. The more change you're going to see, and what we're doing essentially is this alignment. We're working together with God in order to pursue his call and his purpose for our lives. See, every single one of you in here, whether today's the first time you've been at City Hope or you've been here since day one, every one of us have a calling and a purpose in our life. And we have a lane that God wants us to be in, right? And when we're alignment, we're taking on this posture. I'm taking on this posture. God, I want to be exactly where you want me to be. So how do I know? How do I know if I'm in the right lane, right? How do I know if this is exactly where God wants me to be? Well, I think the test for this is really quite simple, but we got to be honest about ourselves. And the question is this: is my life looking more like Jesus? Does my life look more like Jesus this week than it did last week? This year than it did last year? Am I conforming to the image of Christ is the way the Bible says it? So how do I look at my life if I see my life and 2025 looks exactly like 2024, there's no growth, there's no movement in my walk with Jesus, then most likely it's because I've been aligning with my own lane. Because the more time we spend with God, the Bible says it transforms us. We start conforming to the image of Christ. So a posture that we must take place is we got to get back into alignment with God. And then lastly, the final one for today, the eighth pillar. Prayer is about seeking guidance. Prayer is about seeking guidance. James chapter 1 verse 5 says this: Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, now let's stop right there. If I were to ask you today, I'm not asking you, so don't raise your hand. If I were to ask you, how many of you aren't very smart? How many of you lack wisdom? Who's raising their hand? Okay, a couple of you, all right? At least you're honest with yourself, all right? That's probably not something that we're gonna just readily admit. And so when you read this, it says, if you lack wisdom. So again, I gotta get realistic about where I'm at. Because humility and pride are such a big thing in our lives. Am I either gonna be humble or am I gonna be prideful? And in order for me to understand that I lack wisdom, humility has to be there, right? And so if I lack wisdom, look what the Bible says, he should ask God who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. So I'm seeking God's wisdom, I'm seeking God's will, I'm seeking God's guidance for my life. And God's will isn't a puzzle, church. It's not a puzzle. It's a path that we find by asking. Asking God for wisdom and guidance is really, really good. Now, I don't know that we have much trouble asking God for guidance and asking God for wisdom. Where I usually have issues, can I just be real with you today? Is waiting on God to answer. I don't have any problem asking God. God, what should we do? I announced this last Sunday, and for those of you that weren't here, maybe you've heard, but we've been here at John Paul meeting here as a church for a little over 3.5 years now, but in December, our lease is running out, and January, we're homeless, all right? We gotta find a new place. Can I tell you? I don't have a problem asking God, where's our next home? I want to know now. I'm getting impatient, and it's only been a couple weeks. And I'm like, God, I need you. God, I want your guidance. I want your wisdom. And by the way, that's a prayer request. I'm asking you guys to pray for that too. I don't have a problem asking for guidance and wisdom. I have a problem with waiting. But here's what I really feel sometimes in our lives. God withholds the answers because he's more concerned about building my faith than he is about giving me the answer. Sometimes in your life and in our lives, God gives us the answer that we're looking for right away because he wants to see what posture you're gonna take on. He wants to see, are you gonna drift over into your own lane again because you don't have the answer? Or are you gonna stay in the center right where I'm asking you to be? And so let me encourage you today. I don't know what you're asking God for, what wisdom you need, what guidance you need, but be persistent, be relentless in asking God for wisdom and guidance. Pray for that guidance to give us to live by faith and not trust our own knowledge. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think about this every day. I think about this every day because I want to make sure that I am not led by Bobby, that I'm led by the Lord. Because I know, and I've done it so many times, Bobby's going to screw this thing up. I read this quote this week and I just wanted to share. Submit to his wisdom. Stop trying to create your own. Submit to his wisdom and stop trying to create your own. Man, I can just think of time after time after time where I've just created my own wisdom. I know this is what it should be and I know this is what happened. God's saying, submit to me. The Bible is full of prayers. There's so many authors that wrote pieces of the Bible that we see this playing out. Just beautiful, beautiful prayers of asking God for wisdom and asking God for guidance. And I want to share this one with you. It's just two verses, and maybe this is what God is wanting you to pray in your life this week. Psalm 25 says this: make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Maybe that's the prayer for the next 14 days you need to pray. God, make your ways known to me. Teach me, guide me. You are my God. I'm going to wait for you to show up and show what you want for me to do. No matter how big the task, no matter how small the task, God wants us to bring it to him over and over and over again. He wants us to seek him first. He wants us to pray first. That's our four pillars of prayer for today. It's all about a posture before a holy God. As I was preparing for this message this week, and I'm just being honest with you today, when I started thinking about this term posture, one of the first things that began to pop up in my mind is when I was a young kid and I used to slouch in the chair, and my mom or my dad or my teacher would say, son, sit up straight, right? Anybody else? Anybody ever got that? Oh, y'all are perfect again. All right, so I was the only one that had bad posture. And this idea that I was often told to sit up straight. Why was that? Well, what I realize now is 40 something years old is that poor posture weakens your body. When poor posture, and so now from time to time I got to go to the chiropractor, right? I got to get back in alignment. I need an adjustment. I got to get my posture back, and oh man, it feels so good, right? When that happens. But my poor posture led to a weakened body. As I began to think about that, well, if poor posture weakens my body, what does proper posture provide? What does the right posture provide in my life? And now I hope you see where I'm going with this. I'm not talking about the physical body now, but the proper posture in your life when it comes to Jesus, what does that provide for you and I? That provides strength. I get the strength that I need to fight another day. The proper posture provides stability. God, I don't see it. I don't know what you're doing, and I want to drift over in my lane, but God, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay in your will. The proper posture in our lives provides so much for us. And something that I think it provides more than anything, it provides freedom. It provides freedom from the sin, from the destruction, from the enemy. The proper posture, when I'm surrendered, when I'm giving God the praise, when I'm giving him the glory, it provides freedom. God, I may not know the answers, but I know you do. I may not know where to turn. I may not know what the next step is, but I know you do. And I'm just going to stay here in my surrender to you. So church, what's your posture? What's your posture right now? I don't know if any of you grew up like in a, maybe like an old school Baptist church. Anybody? Anybody grow up in that life? At the end of the service, in most of those old school Baptist churches, they would have what we would call an altar call, right? And preacher would preach, and then they would open up the altar, and most of the time the church had the Baptist burgundy carpet, right? And they would have a couple little steps, and they'd have a little altar, and I don't mean to degrade or rain on anybody's parade, but you know that was just steps and carpet, right? Like it's just, there's nothing special, there's nothing magical, there's nothing great about an altar, but what was great and what meant a lot was the posture that was taking place on the altar. When one would just kneel down and get on their face before God, and their posture was surrender. Their posture was, God, I can't do it, so I need your help. Their posture was, hey, I need somebody to pray with me. I'm walking through some things, and I just need something today, right? The posture of what was taking place on that altar is what was really special and meaningful and touching heaven. And for some of you, like that's what you need today. You just need a posture before God and say, God, I can't do it anymore. I've tried it on my own long enough. I surrender. I surrender, and God's calling you today. It's time. It's time. And maybe we're going to sing, and I've asked the team to sing this song. It's a beautiful song, but it's just an opportunity for you to respond and get in the right posture. And maybe today it's just for you to stand and just open your hands. Say, God, here I am. Use me. Speak to me. Maybe today it's just you got to throw your hands up. You know the international sign for surrender? And God's looking for your posture today. And he wants that humility. He wants that desire for him. And maybe today it's just you bowing your head as we sing. It's confession, it's humility, it's aligning with God's heart, it's seeking his guidance, seeking his wisdom. What is the posture that God's looking from you today? Would you bow your heads with me right now? As our team leads us in this song, don't walk out of here today. Don't walk out of here today. God's speaking to your heart, if he's calling you to a posture today, if you need to pray with someone, if you want to come and kneel down in this bench and just get that posture of surrender, if you want to raise your hands, if you want to just bow your heads in your seat and be quiet, use this as a time. Use this as a response. We're going to go and we're going to have a great day, and life's going to be great. We're going to celebrate those being baptized. But right now in this moment, what is God speaking to your heart about? Father, may we build our lives and our hope on you. May our posture be one of surrender, of reverence, of respect, of submission. May our posture show that we're desperate to communicate with you. Remove the pride. Give us boldness and courage to move around this room right now in the way that you've called us to move. In Jesus' name. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.